make them in the two ends of the mercy seat, and make one cherubim of one end and one cherubim on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on two sides thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their face shall look one to the other. Towards the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. We studied last week. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I give thee in the commandments unto the children of Israel. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these hidden treasures in the Word of God that you allow us by illumination, Lord, by the revelation of your precious Holy Spirit of God and your Word to allow us to see more clear what you have really done for us as old sinful human beings, and how, Father, that you are our mercy seat, how, Father, each one of these pieces of furniture shows and pictures what you've done for us so many, many times. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sin, Lord, through the sacrifice, Lord, that you shed on Calvary's cross. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for all the good things you give us each day. And Father, we just pray that you might overshadow this church, Father, for your mercy, love, and your grace. And each family, Lord, that's a member of this church, and Father, in this community, Lord, we just pray that we continuously, oh God, be the light that you would have us to be. And we thank you again in the name of Jesus Christ for bringing us to another close of the day. And all this we say, amen and amen. The Ark of the Covenant. Remember, there was three arcs, and I can't hardly get this far along, and it's also a lot of things I've already said before, but it's kind of like an overview. But remember, I said there was three arcs mentioned very well in the Bible. Remember the ark that Moses, when he was a baby, they put him in that little ark of bulrush and put him out into the Nile River, and that showed that ark was a place of safety. And then you know there's Noah's ark. God says you build an ark, and he built the ark, and then all of his family went into the ark, and God shut the door, and that was a place of safety for Noah and his sons and their wives and his wife also. Covenant, it was a place of safety. Well, this Ark of the Covenant is also a place of safety. All three of these represents a place of safety, a safekeeping. As I told you a lot of times, in this ark, it's like a hope chest. Well, this ark in an Old Testament shows and pictures the hope chest of Christians throughout all eternity of what's inside the hope chest. And I covered all that before. I hope that you remember what I said. But as we get on into this already here tonight, the mercy seat. Now, the mercy seat was just a lid. It became a throne where the Lord rules and also communes with us. Remember, I told you this place, this mercy place, in the holies of holies, in this tabernacle, was the onlyest place that God, the holy God, met with mankind on the face of this earth. No other place, no other way. And then there was only one man, one time a year, could go into the presence of that holy of holies. It was a place of judgment at that time. That was a place that called the mercy seat, the throne where the glory of God dwelt. And we'll find out a little further on as it moves along. Christ, our sovereignty. Jesus Christ ruled from that golden throne, sprinkled with blood and with his own blood, as we see in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God have set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. That word propitiation, anytime that you see that in the New Testament, it is the same word for mercy seat. You could read that, set forth to be a mercy seat for you and I today. But also, as we see that mercy seat, 1 John 4 and 10 says, Wherein is love? Not that we love God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be our propitiation, to be our mercy seat for our sins. This propitiation, looking back at this Old Testament tabernacle and this mercy seat, and this slab of gold had to be sprinkled with blood. That was a mercy seat for all the nation of Israel. But Jesus Christ is our mercy seat today, sprinkled with blood, that God did not see the broken laws inside that box, but he saw the blood of those goats and animals that were sprinkled on that mercy seat. God do not see the broken laws that you broke and I broke. He sees the mercy seat, Jesus Christ's blood sprinkled on all the laws that I broke. He don't see those broken laws in my life. He sees the blood of Jesus, my mercy seat. My mercy seat. That mercy seat was over the ark. It's a place of safekeeping. Thank you, Lord. Remember that manna? While that manna was for, it represented Jesus Christ. We feed on Jesus Christ. We won't go back in that. Aaron's rod that budded for safekeeping, that is our resurrection. And the Aaron rod that budded. These table of stones that had been broken symbolizes the broken law that all mankind have broke, not just Israel that broke the laws, but all mankind have broke the laws. And gold, solid slab of gold. Gold symbols the royal deity of Jesus Christ. And then the blood that was sprinkled. God knows that we broke those laws, but he does not see them broken laws. He sees the blood of a day of atonement for the nation of Israel. Remember when Moses was up on the mountain, God giving him the Ten Commandments, and to come back down, Aaron had made him a calf of gold. And you see, gold is a deity all through the Bible. See, a calf of what? A calf of gold. While he was up there and God gave him the Ten Commandments, the children of Israel were down there breaking the Ten Commandments. Or they didn't really break the Ten Commandments. They broke themselves on the Ten Commandments. And you don't break the commandments of God. We break ourselves. But anyway, God does not see those broken laws in your life. Aren't you glad of that? You broke the law. I bet you broke the law today. I bet you broke the law today. Aren't you glad that God don't see that broken law in your life? But he's looking down at the mercy seat through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he cannot see that broken law that you just broke today. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, Christ, our mercy seat. You know, a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, had some little boys and girls, and you know, she says, anything that God can't do, and a little girl raised her hand and said, yes, they are. God cannot see my sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You know why that's the truth? God can't see your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. That broken law, the mercy seat, Day of Atonement. Remember one time a year, one day a year, the high priest, same as Jesus. This is picturing Jesus. One time a year. You remember when they have a Day of Atonement? That's that same time of the year when they'd take two goats. And I know I explained this a dozen times to you. One was called a scapegoat. One was a sacrifice goat. One they'd kill, take that blood, place that blood, Aaron take his hands, put in that blood that was killed, that goat that was killed, put that blood on that scapegoat, carry him out there into the wilderness and turn him loose and never see him again. But that slain goat, Aaron would take that blood, carry that animal into that blazing altar, put him on that fire of the blazing altar, and as that goat was being consumed by the fire, he would take some coals off of that blazing altar. He would carry it inside the holy place, not the holy of holy, the holy place, get some incense off of that incense altar, and then with that incense, And with that blood, then him and only him, only one time a year, Day of Atonement, for the sins of the nation of Israel, then he would enter into the Holy of Holy, sprinkle that blood with that incense in that censer, the smoke filling that cubit-shaped room, sprinkle that incense on that mercy seat for the sins of the nation for that whole year. God would overlook those sins and look at the blood and see the blood, and all that shows one day whenever John the Baptist was baptizing at the River Jordan, Jesus Christ come and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world." Because a lot of people think, as they study the Bible, they think that this blood for animals would take away the sin of the nation of Israel, take away their sin. It never took away any sin. The Bible plainly tells us that blood of animals will not take away sin, cannot take away sin. It was only a picture, and the sins will just roll over one more year to Calvary. Roll over one more year to Calvary. Roll over one more year to Calvary. Just roll over, over and over. But they was never took away. That's the reason it's so clear when old John the Baptist says, Jesus, that lamb, so was slain, will take away the sins of the world. Not roll them over, but take them away, the sins of the world. He would put that on that brazing altar. And then, you know what? The whole sin, he would get out of there. Now, the whole Old Testament picture here is what Jesus Christ was going to do one day. The same thing that Aaron done, the same thing the high priest done once a year, was pictured what Jesus Christ would do one day for you and I and for the whole world. As we see this, we just pray the Holy Spirit might turn the light on in our heart for us to understand and see. Whenever Jesus Christ died, when he was buried, and he raised from the grave, Mary came to that garden tomb where he was at, saw Jesus, remember, and fell down, was going to worship him. Jesus told her, John chapter 20 and verse 17, listen, Jesus said unto her, Mary, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and to your God and my God. Don't touch me. And then a little while after that, it's recorded in Luke chapter 24 and verse 39. Jesus said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for our spirit have not flesh and bones as I ye see me now. What's the difference? Don't touch me. And then handle me. What happened? What's the difference? Have you ever thought about that in the Word of God? What happened and what's the difference? Well, I'm glad you asked me, because we're studying in the tabernacle right now. Because an Old Testament high priest, it helps us to understand the difference. The high priest, as you study in the Word of God in Leviticus, a high priest, once a year, he had prepared himself for this day, one time, to go into the Holy of Holies. You just didn't walk in there. Besides the blood, besides the offering, besides that incense, he had to prepare himself. What did he have to do? He had to wash himself. There's a ceremony that he had to do before he was able to go into. He had to be clean thoroughly. And when he was washed in that ceremony that he went through once a year, no one, read the Bible, no one supposed to touch him. Because he would be defiled by anyone that touched him. No one. So, he was set apart to go into the Holy of Holies, separated from sinners. Whenever Jesus Christ raised from the grave, he ascended to the Father, to heaven, and he came back and he appeared to the disciples. During that time, don't touch me. Do not defile me, Mary. But he come back and he says, handle me what had happened. He carried his blood, his own blood, as a high priest for you and I, and sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Give me some scriptures. Hebrews 9 and 12. Listen. Neither by blood of goats nor calves. There it is. But by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. One time, just like the high priest in the Old Testament. Well, not with the blood of goats and animals, but with his own blood. Don't touch me. I have not ascended to my Father. I have not carried my blood in the holies of holies as it should be in the Old Testament, as it is in the New Testament, what he done for us. He carried his blood sprinkled on that mercy seat in heaven. Where is Jesus' blood? Say, well, his blood was poured out at Calvary. Where is Jesus' blood at right now? It's in heaven, in the holies of holies, on the mercy seat. You ever heard that song, "The Blood Still Has Its Power"? Why does it still have its power? Because that blood is still on the mercy seat in heaven. Jesus Christ carried it there. The throne of judgment in the Old Testament, that's what it was. It was a throne of judgment. Became a throne of mercy when Jesus Christ carried his blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 on. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, not like Aaron, that is passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings or our infirmities, but was in all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly with confidence unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You need need. You never have any needs. You need them now. God says right now. Come with confidence that Jesus Christ is our high priest. The very same thing that the high priest done, that Aaron done, was a picture of the very same thing that Jesus done for you and I. That's the reason he said, don't touch me. Then he says, handle me. He done come back. 1 Timothy 2 and 5, for there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. God has lived in various of houses. Remember the tabernacle had three rooms, the outer court, the inner court, and innermost court. Y'all got that in your mind? You got that picture now? You know, God makes everything in the Trinity as he is himself as God. Man has three rooms. You see, we have our outer court, which is our body, and the outer court where the sacrifice was, you sacrifice your body, that's what you have. Present your body a living sacrifice, Romans 12 and 1 says. That is a reasonable service. That's our outer court, this soul here. You see, but then you see there's another one, and that is the inner court. As you go inside there, that's inside the holy place. That represents our soul. That's where they went in. The priests did. They had the bread and they had the candle arbors and the incense of prayer. And they was in there. Several of them was in there together. And that's where we have fellowship one with the other. And the innermost court was the Holy of Holies, a cube-shaped room with a high priest. Only one man went in there once a year. And you see, that shows our spirit. And that's where we are God-conscious. God conscious. John 4, 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Y'all remember not too many weeks ago, I don't know when it was, I barely can remember, but anyway, I preached a sermon on where did God live. I forgot what I even named it anyway, but four different places that God lived. Did anybody remember that? I didn't think he did. You know, and I said the first place was God's primary house, and that was Adam. Y'all remember living in Adam? I'm going to preach that sermon again. Y'all don't remember it. Anyway, the primary house that God made was Adam. And he designed the house. He made Adam out of nothing, out of sand of the dirt, of the earth. And then after that, we find out the house was desecrated. In other words, Adam sinned. And whenever I said God won't live in a dirty house, God moved out of Adam. When God moved out of Adam, you know what? He died. Desolation. Desolation set in. And then destruction. Adam died. So he moved out of Adam. Then the next one I said, you know, is a tabernacle. That's God's pattern house. He told Moses how to make this tabernacle and this temple, you know. He designed it just like he told Moses how to do it. It was designed by God, just like Adam was designed by God because it made it out of nothing. And then you see what happened. Oh, desecration. They sinned in the house of God. Desolation, God moved out. And destruction, God destroyed the temple. And Matthew chapter 21, 13, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. My house. Y'all remember that? And then in Matthew chapter 23 and 38, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. You have defiled it. He says, my house, you have it made a den of thieves. It's no longer my house. God moved out. Now he said, it's your house. Then I said that, you know, he moved out of that one, and then he moved in one more, God's perfect house. What is God's perfect house? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's perfect house. He designed it, virgin birth, by the Holy Spirit of God, designed. Desecration set in. What happened? Jesus never sinned, never could have sinned. But we know that he was made sin for us who knew no sin. When that happened, desolation set in. What is that? My God, why have thou forsaken me? And then destruction, death to Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 and 14, and the Word was made flesh. Here, tell you what the Word of God said, what I just said. The Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I would raise it again. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, for he had made him to be sin for us who do no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God. Then Isaiah says in 53 and 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then Matthew chapter 27 and 46, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He moved out. He was left there alone. God won't live in a dirty house. And then I said, the last house he moved into is a believer's, you and I. That's God's permanent house. He will never move out because of our mercy seat. Now, he says, I will never, never leave you. Now, when Solomon built the temple, the first great beautiful temple, after they had took all that wilderness, gone into Canaan land, David got all the material, all the money ready, Solomon built the first temple. When that temple was built and dedicated, as you can read in the Bible, you know what happened? They took the Ark of the Covenant. Remember now, it was made with rings and golden staves, wood with overlaid with gold, where it may be carried upon their shoulders, everywhere they went, all the furniture was. But when the temple was completed, the staves was never ever to leave that box, always stayed in that box, so they could get it by the staves and transport to wherever God led them. But when the temple was finished, as you read the Bible, the ark was set there in the Holy of Holies. And guess what they done? They pulled the stakes out of the rings. That meant never, ever, ever to move again until they had misused the house of God, made it a den of thieves. It was never leave again. But the picture for you and I, the ark will never move anymore. When the glory of God filled that temple, it was a picture that the ark is a picture of Jesus Christ, remember? The ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ coming into us when you're saved. And when those staves was pulled out of that ark, it pictured Jesus Christ in us. Where is the temple of God at? You remember I preached on that? Y'all don't remember who the temple of God is? We are. Whoo! And when Jesus Christ, the Ark of the Covenant, moves in this old sinful body and the staves were pulled out, you know what it meant? It meant he's going to be here forever and forever and forever and forever. Now that's good. That's good. That's what happened. That mercy, John 14:6 says, "And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, forever, and forever." Listen, the mercy seat is the presence of God, and his glory in our heart will never leave us. Now that's good preaching, even though y'all don't remember it. Oh, goodness, I got to close. Christ, our mercy seat, through salvation, our spirituality, our security, our soul winning, also our service. I won't have time to get any farther than this, but thank you, Lord, for showing me about that mercy seat one more time in the Bible. Pray that God had opened up your understanding and have enlightened you by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God to show you what Christ done as we study this tabernacle, this ark, this mercy seat. As they moved into that temple, I'm going to tell you that's eternal security where people believe it or not. Everything was done in that tabernacle, in that temple, represent what Jesus Christ is doing and have done and will do for us. And obviously only touched the hem of the garment in the tabernacle study that we've studied this far. But I tell you what, that ought to make you say hallelujah, glory, glory. What Christ has done, I'll never leave you. I'm settled down. I'll dwell with you forever and ever. The Ark of the Covenant, I'm going to tell you, the mercy seat is in your heart, and all the broken laws that you broke, read them tonight. But God can't see any of those broken laws because all he sees is the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. On my heart, golly, doesn't that take a load off your shoulders? All you are laboring, heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. That's what he done for us. I know I went long and I should. I need you. I guess I got to quit anyway. Brother Barry, how about putting us on something? We're going to have a word of silent prayer for just a moment here tonight. I quit. As we bow in prayer, that's good.